98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station, we're live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Bernsy, what's going on?
Friday, it's playoff football weekend.
Right,
here we go. And, you know, selfishly, can you just be selfish here for just a minute?
Sure.
The fact that
every once in a while, you got to be selfish.
Right? The fact that the Cardinals are playing on Monday Night Football. And I'm not complaining about this because you and I have some of the best jobs in this world, man. We love what we do.
It's nice to have a job that you enjoy.
Absolutely. We love our job. It's a lot of fun. But there is something nice about just being able to kick back and watch the games in a kind of a more casual, relaxed environment this weekend. And then, bang, on Monday, okay, let's go to work, right? Let's go to work and let's watch the Cardinals game, and because it's fun for us, but it's also work. I'm looking forward to this weekend, the other five games, just being able to kick back on Saturday and watch some playoff football, and then watch that
triple
header.
I think they're good games, too. I think the matchups, you know, most of the matchups are really good, so I'm looking forward to the games. Yeah, absolutely. I understand exactly what you're saying. Now, Monday, we will not have a full show because we'll have Cardinals pregame coverage. We will be on a roundtable from 1:30 to 2:30.
Yes.
So we will be on the air from 1:30 to 2:30. But because it's a Cardinal game on a Monday, we will be preempted by Cardinals pregame coverage for the majority of that day. But we will be on from 1:30 to 2:30.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we are, in essence, treating today's show like it's – because it is. It's our final full show before the Cardinals play this playoff game. So we're a lot of time previewing, and I know there's still, you know, a Saturday practice and a Sunday injury report and all of that stuff that still needs to happen before they play. For us, this is our final full four-hour show before the Cardinals play. So we're treating it as such. And with that in mind, let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Top story of the day are the guys who were and the guys who were not out there today at practice. We have not seen the official injury report yet, the day two injury report. As soon as we have it, we'll pass it along to you. Let's start with the guys that we did see today. Zach Allen was back out there. Antonio Hamilton, coming off of that tooth injury he had yesterday, was back out there. Chase Edmonds was back out there. Jordan Phillips was back out there. Marco Wilson was back out there. There are some very important names in that group right there that were back out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, they're going to get the majority of the guys that were out, they're going to get back. There will be guys that aren't able to play, but the majority of guys that were nursing injuries and trying to get through it, those guys are going to be good to go for this game. And, you know, you want to see more. We talk about this all the time. What you want to see is a guy get through a practice and get through another practice and not hear anything about a setback. That means that guy is on pace to play. So I think you've got to feel really good right now about the players that are on pace to play in this game.
Now, if we're just being honest about this, okay, yesterday Chase Edmonds practiced. He was limited. Marco Wilson was limited. Jordan Phillips was limited. But to your point, at this point, you're just looking for stringing one day after another after another. You don't want to see anybody going backwards on the injury report. Like, hey, he was limited one day, but oh, the next day he was a DNP, did not practice. That's when you start to get a little worried about a guy. And so far, so good. And in particular, goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, the key guys that were kind of – Zach Allen, we assumed, was going to be back. The key guys that we're looking at there, Chase Edmonds, Jordan Phillips, Marco Wilson. Nothing against Antonio Hamilton. They need cornerbacks too. But those are the three names that we were looking at as – it would be really, really nice if they could get those guys back. Nothing's for sure yet, but it was good to see him back out on the field for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the cornerback spot is the one we've seen them have to get down to, that – fifth cornerback, that sixth cornerback, and obviously it's been just a chore for them. I mean, it's just that talent level right there is a big difference between those fifth and sixth guys and the third and fourth guys. So getting Marco Wilson back would be huge, and I think Breshad Breeland trying to get up to par with the system, trying to learn everything he can, veteran guy, I expect Rashad Breeland will be available for the game as well on Monday. And, you know, don't know a lot about him. But, you know, I mean, at this point, right, beggars can't be choosers. He's a veteran player. He's got a lot of experience. I like him a lot better than I like the Borders guy.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not going to sit here and say that the scouting report, that anybody who was available off the free agent scrap heap this late in the season clearly has their flaws. No one's going to sit there and pretend that Rashad Breeland is the perfect player. But after we saw Breon Borders struggle as badly as he did against Seattle, I'm glad they've got a veteran option they can try. And, of course, getting Marco Wilson back. The guys that Darren Urban and others didn't see, James Conner, Rondale Moore, and that one kind of raises an eyebrow a little bit because he was limited yesterday. So that's something to keep an eye on when the injury report comes out. And then the one that caused a real stir with the fan base this morning, at least on social media, Darren Urban tweeted out, "I didn't see linebacker Isaiah Simmons, who had not been on the injury report. That is something to watch." And I either retweeted Darren or our own Tyler Drake. Yeah. I can't remember. And I said, "Oh,
people were worried.
That's a little, what's going on there? He wasn't on the injury report. What's going on?" You're here to tell us that there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, a lot of people were speculating that it was the coronavirus. And so I immediately told people that it was not the coronavirus. And then in a report, I said, and this is when we actually report something, not just speculate on radio, but did say that Isaiah Simmons was excused from practice. Nothing to worry about. I don't want to go into detail because it's a personal matter, but he has been excused from practice. It is nothing to worry about at all. So we were able to get that out there a little bit earlier because there was so much speculation. People, because when that stuff happens, it's the first thing you think of. And I don't blame anybody. It's like, oh, my God, he's not there. It's got to be. I wonder if he's in health and safety protocols.
Look, I'll cop to it. I hate to admit this. I hate that this is what our world has made my mind go to now. It was the first thing I thought of. It was the first thing I thought of because, and I think this happened when you were gone a couple of weeks ago on vacation, but almost the same thing happened with DJ Humphries. Not on the injury report, and there's just one day he's not out there at practice.
Right.
And it was like, and then about 4 hours later, he's on the list. And so you see something similar like that happen, and immediately your mind goes to that, yes, kind of that place. And you know, nobody reported it. Nobody said this is what it is. But there was on social media some speculation that maybe that's what it could be. Backing up your report on it, Vance Joseph did meet the media today. And as you had reported, said he's fine, family matter, he'll be back tonight.
He's fine, guys. He's got a family matter out of town, and he's back tonight. He's all good.
Okay. There you go.
Yep, all good.
All good.
It's nothing for anybody to worry about. He'll be fine. It's not a COVID issue. It's just an absence that was excused by the team for practice today, and then he'll be right back.
Yeah, it's funny. There was, a multitude of previews for all the games this weekend on a multitude of websites, whether it was ESPN, whether it was NFL.com, whether it was The Athletic. One of them was done through a real kind of X's and O's, hardcore X's and O's kind of look at things, how the Cardinals can beat the Rams. And one of the things they mentioned was Christian Kirk, and that's something you and I have talked a lot about how he might be kind of an unsung hero in all of this. But one of the other names got mentioned in that piece was Isaiah Simmons. Quote, "We know the Cards can mix coverages and heat up the pocket against Matthew Stafford. Because of that, I would keep an eye on Buda Baker and linebacker Isaiah Simmons, two defenders who can be deployed as both pass rushers and in coverage. Their versatility and the Cardinals' ability to kind of mix and match their coverages a little bit." So I read that story about Isaiah Simmons, then about an hour later saw that he wasn't at practice, and so my mind went there, but I'm glad to hear that everything's okay.
Well, I mean, listen, we're at that point now where Isaiah Simmons is such a valuable player because of that ability to cover guys and ability to rush the passer. I mean, he's such a he's a young, talented kid, and he's a vital part of that defense. And with the injuries that they suffered, you don't want to see anybody miss anything. But we were able to quickly say it's nothing to worry about, and just an excused absence from practice today. Again, personal reason, and I expect him back tomorrow.
All right.
Tonight, but I
know what you mean. Vance Joseph going to have another tough task ahead of him, dealing with that Rams, their offense, their skill position players, a defense that's obviously not 100% healthy, but starting to get guys back. How is he looking at his guys going into the Monday night game? You'll hear from the Cards DC next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo show. Thank you for hanging out with us on this Friday. Everything pushed back a day for the Cardinals because they're playing on a Monday instead of a Sunday. Vance Joseph, usually we hear from the Cardinals defensive coordinator every Thursday. So obviously that got pushed back too. But it's always interesting to hear from Vance, especially now, given kind of the moving pieces on the chessboard that he's got to deal with in terms of J.J. Watt and his secondary and Jordan Phillips and et cetera, et cetera. He's got guys coming back, guys coming in, guys he's got to manage, and he's doing it up against a quarterback who's threw for nearly 3,000 or 5,000 yards this year with a bunch of touchdowns and an incredible wide receiver to throw to. He's got a lot to deal with, Gambo. And the one guy we didn't talk about in the last segment when we were talking about players and their return or the injury situation was J.J. Watt. We didn't mention him. He practiced yesterday, assuming he practiced again today. You said yesterday that everything was good. He looked great in practice so far. Vance Joseph today was asked if they increased Watt's workload today.
Kind of same as yesterday. You know, we knew it was going to be a week-long process to kind of figure out how much Jay can play or if he can play at all. You know, and that process is still going on. You know, hopefully tomorrow we can kind of give him more football activity and make a decision by Monday. But, you know, right now he's had no setbacks. And, you know, obviously he wants to play, but it's going to be a week-long process, guys.
Yeah, the thing that he said in there was the most important thing is no setbacks.
Yes.
Because that trends towards playing. You're not practicing for your health, right? You're practicing because you want to play. So the second you hear, and you try to decipher this stuff, we've been around long enough where we can pick out some of the things that are said. It's they're going to wait until Monday before they announce everything. You know why? Because they can. Why are they going to wait? Because they can. They can wait till Monday. There's no reason to say he's playing today or tomorrow he's playing or even Sunday he's playing. Wait till Monday. Make a decision Monday. You have the time. There's no reason to come out and say anything now, but you look for certain keywords. There hasn't been a setback. J.J. Watt is practicing so he could play in the game on Monday. He's not practicing because he's looking to lose 5 pounds and he wants to get in shape. He's practicing because he wants to play in the game. So what you look for is you look for anything, any indication that there was a setback. He wasn't able to finish the practice. He had to go get treatment. Anything like that is a red flag. We haven't heard that through 2 days of J.J. Watt. That's good. That's trending in the right direction. But we will not know 100% until Monday.
He was asked, Vance Joseph was, exactly how Watt's return benefits the Cardinals' defense. I know, sounds like an obvious question, but we're looking for the nuance here of the answer.
Well, with J.J., first of all, I think just Jay's presence, Josh, you know, helps guys play with more intensity. You know, obviously having one more good player, you know, rushing the passer and playing on first, second down is always a good thing. You know, I mean, he is a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. You know, so if he's one-on-one and doing pass downs, he's going to win most of his one-on-ones. And the energy he brings, the fire he brings to the defense is unquestionable. So to have him is a huge lift.
It's funny. We'll talk about this a little later on the show, but there's one story we're going to talk about today about X factors in this game.
Yes.
And they mentioned J.J. Watt as an X factor, obviously, for for clear reasons, right? But in the story, in the write-up, they said, man, if he can just give them 20 snaps in obvious pass rush situations, 20, that's it, could make all the difference in the world when it comes to what you're trying to do with your blitz packages and your defense. That's literally all we're talking about here in the eyes of one very esteemed NFL analyst. 20 snaps, that's it.
There will be reasons that one team wins and reasons that the other team loses this game on Monday. And we don't know what those are right now, but, you know, it's obvious to look at a guy like J.J. Watt and say he could be a factor.
Yes.
If he plays 20 snaps, maybe that's a factor. Maybe he forces a fumble. Maybe he gets a few pressures. Maybe he gets a sack. Maybe he knocks a ball down. I mean, especially in a game that's a one-score game. Now, if the game is a blowout, then you don't kind of look at that stuff. But in a one-score game, there are several factors as to why one team is going to win and one team is going to lose. Every once in a while, there's one factor. But most of the time, it's several. And I think people look at a J.J. Watt and say it's possible. It's possible that he could be a factor in a Cardinals win.
When it comes to the secondary, Marco Wilson was again practicing today. Antonio Hamilton, it sounded like he had a tooth issue. He didn't practice yesterday. He was back at practice.
He was back
today.
He went Tom Hanks last night. He went Tom Hanks.
Or he went to a dentist. He went to Dr. What was the in Castaway? Was it Dr. Spaulding? Was it Tom Hanks was talking to Wilson the volleyball about his dentist name was Dr. Spaulding. So maybe
oh my
he.
God. How do you even remember that?
Oh,
how do you remember
seen,
that?
I've seen that movie 50 times.
Do you remember the dentist name?
Because it's the irony of the fact that he's talking to Wilson and it was Spaulding.
Wow. The doctor's okay. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just, there's something wrong with me. There is really, really something wrong with me.
Your memory on anything that has to do with movies is absolutely fascinating.
It's
just fascinating the stuff that you remember. Like, for me, it's songs. I remember songs, and you remember. I don't remember movies. I can't. All the movies that I watch, I don't even know what the names of them are. I forget the names. I'll tell you this. I don't know if other people are like this, and I don't think this is Alzheimer's because my wife does it too. We can watch a show and be in like the third season of the show, and I don't remember the characters' names.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'll cheat and look up IMDb, you know, and go, oh, okay, that's what character they're talking about. Sometimes I got to do that. Yeah,
we're watching The Witcher right now. The Witcher, and I'm like, okay. Oh, what's the, like the one of the main characters? I'm like, last night I was like, what's her name?
Yeah.
What's her name? What's her name? The main character, she's got the purple eyes. Like, I've been watching the show like all these. I could watch a show for three seasons and then not remember like the main characters' names.
That's funny. Yeah, I've heard that show is very popular on Netflix. It's like
The Witcher.
It's one of the most watched shows on that network. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a B-rated Game of Thrones, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's a really good TV show.
All right. So before we got sidetracked by Dr. Spaulding, Vance Joseph giving an update on his cornerback position.
Absolutely. Marco's practiced all week. Hamilton's back out there. He's been healthy the last couple of weeks. KP made it out of the protocol, so he's back at practice. So we should be at pretty much full strength. You know, adding Breland a couple of weeks ago, he's obviously getting reps now. So we are in a good spot at corner, you know, going to this game on Monday.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Here's more from Vance Joseph on Bashaud Breland and how, yes, he will be in the mix.
Well, first of all, I think Breland, your first question, I mean, he's going to be in the mix, obviously. I mean, he's a guy that's played in big games. He's got a high football IQ, guys, and watching him in practice the last couple of weeks, he's got a great feel for route concepts. You know, he's a relaxed guy. He's been in these big moments before, so he is here to help us, and that's a good thing.
Veteran experience. I'll take that over the guy off the practice squad of the Titans or the Jaguars, whatever, whoever he came from, Borders. I'll take the veteran experience of Bashaud Breland. I'll just take that experience and hope that he can hang, because you got Odell Beckham Jr., you got Higbee, you got Cooper Kupp. They're talented. They're talented with their skill position players. So if Breland can help a little bit, I'm all for it.
Yeah, and what we've seen, I mean, we've all experienced it. We've seen this Cardinals pass defense just the last four, five, six games. They have not performed well, and a lot of it has been injury-based, and we've seen, you know, one metric that I know Wolf in particular is a big believer in is the opponent quarterback rating, and for the most of the season, the Cardinals were one of the better teams in the NFL at opponent quarterback rating. They were doing a good job keeping the other team's quarterback from hurting them. Boy, the last month or so, that number has skyrocketed on the Cardinals, in large part because of the injuries and just kind of managing that secondary. It's really good to hear Vance Joseph speak with such confidence about the guys they're starting to get back and how they might be as whole as they can be in that secondary going into this game. That is going to help immeasurably in this game.
Yeah, there's no question. Listen, if they would have got the number one seed, they'd have the bye week, and they'd get the rest, guys. They'd be Green Bay right now, just sit back and watch. That wasn't the case. They faltered. They fell all the way down to the five seed, so now they got to go on the road. But I think that they played it. Listen, there were guys that could have played in that last game against Seattle and didn't because they just I think they felt that they could win the game without some of those guys, and two, they just didn't want to take they didn't want the risk of having a guy go out there and then get hurt, and all of a sudden you can't play. Because we talked so much about that Seattle game. It was important, but it wasn't like the be-all, end-all. All right, if they won, they'd be playing a home game right now. Yes, that matters. But they're going to go on the road, and they're going to have some key guys that are healthy because they held them out of that Seattle game.
The NFC playoffs, six teams, three games, including the Cardinals and the Rams. We'll talk about the other two games in the NFC next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
This is going to seem like a strange question to ask given that the game is on Monday night and this is only Friday afternoon. But as Gambo mentioned at the top of the show, this is our final full edition of the Burns and Gambo Show until the game. The Cardinals pregame coverage knocks us off for all but an hour of our show on Monday. So we're kind of treating this like what it is. It's our final show before the Cardinals take on the Rams on Monday night. This question will sound very familiar to listeners of the Burns and Gambo Show.
True listeners know this question is already coming.
We've rolled this one out.
I don't even know what it is.
We've rolled this one out many times on a football Friday. You'll recognize
Gambo
it.
Gambo left in the dark on a football Friday.
Well, I'm working
scary.
From home. Like, I'm not with you guys. I'm a little out of the loop on certain things.
No worries.
Like the poll question.
Tell you what, we'll loop you in right now. How's that?
All right.
Hit us up. What you got, Mitch?
All right, here's our poll question today. As Burnsy mentioned, it's our last show before the Cardinals Monday night game. So it's time to predict the outcome.
Action.
Cardinals win by a little. Cardinals win by a lot. Rams win by a little. Rams win by a lot. And if you're a first-time listener of this poll question, a lot meaning a two-possession-plus game.
More than 8 points.
Man, I don't know.
I you know what? I'm going to rip off the Band-Aid. I'm going to do it. Rams win by a little.
Oof.
I know. Just because I'm saying that doesn't mean I'm rooting for it.
Yeah.
I think the Rams win by a little. I do.
I'm going to go Cards win by a little.
Okay.
I'm going to bank on Matthew Stafford being Matthew Stafford. Man, I just hope the real Matthew Stafford shows up, the one that sucks.
Will the real Matthew Stafford please?
If the real Matthew Stafford plays, I think the Cardinals could win.
I love how that has become the real Matthew Stafford. That's great. That makes me laugh.
Well, yeah.
What's our audience say so far? This
I tell you what, I'm very curious to see how this turns out 2 hours from now because early returns are very positive. 52.6% think that the Cardinals are going to win this one by a little. The next highest vote getter at 19.5% thinks Rams by a little. 15.8% Rams by a lot. 12.1% Cards by a lot. So if you want to compartmentalize it, that's 64% thinking the Cards will win.
Okay. Yeah, that's given that we're in the Phoenix metro area, that's not a tremendous surprise, but. Okay. All right. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find it. It's not just the Cardinals and the Rams on Monday night, as we mentioned at the top of the show. It's just a big old smorgasbord of football all weekend long. And the two NFC games, they're both on Sunday. And now we get to talk about them a little bit, because coming up on Sunday in the morning, at 11 o'clock our time, the 7th-seeded Philadelphia Eagles taking on the 2nd-seeded Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Immediately following that is the 6th-seed San Francisco 49ers taking on the 3rd-seed Dallas. Those are the two other NFC games, obviously not including the Cardinals and the Rams on Monday night. Which one you want to start talking about,
Gambo? Let's start with the Eagles and the Bucs.
Okay.
Let's start with the Eagles and Tampa Bay. Jalen Hurts. Can Jalen Hurts win you a playoff game, especially against the Bucs? Now, the Bucs, you know, they've had a lot of injuries. They're not going to have Chris Godwin for this playoff run. He's out. Season-ending ACL injury. Lavonte David's been hurt. So they've got some injury questions. And the Bucs have played better. But Todd Bowles against a young quarterback like that, I just don't see him being able to have the success necessary for them to win that game.
Yeah, Tom Brady, they're obviously a little on the light side when it comes to the wide receiver position right now. We were talking the other day, I think it was yesterday, about the most balanced team in the NFL playoffs, and there's a case to be made for the Buccaneers as the most balanced team. They were top five in scoring offense and in scoring defense. They led the league in passing offense. They were third in rushing defense. They've gotten it done on both sides of the ball. The one thing that Philadelphia is going to have to do here, they're going to have to lean on that top-ranked rushing game and keep Tom Brady off the field. I mean, this becomes a big Miles Sanders game. This becomes a big Jalen Hurts game. This becomes, you know, Philly's ability, the fact that they are the number one. And they kind of reinvented themselves about halfway through the season. They were just kind of, you know, putzing along a little bit, and they reinvented their whole offense to make it so run heavy, and it worked. It got them in the postseason. If there's any shot of going to Tampa Bay and beating what I do think is a somewhat vulnerable Tampa Bay team, Gambo, maybe not to Philly, but I think in this postseason, the fact that they are missing Godwin, that they don't have Antonio Brown, that they are a little thin at wide receiver, I do think that's going to get them. I just don't know if it's going to get them against the Philadelphia Eagles in the
Philly's,
first round.
Philly's not good at getting pressure on the quarterback. And the way to beat Tom Brady, and the Giants had the secret sauce, right, for those two Super Bowls. You got to get pressure on Brady. You got to hit Brady. The Eagles blitz 19% of the time. That's lowest in the NFL. They sack their opponents 4.5% of the time. That's the third worst. And their pressure rate is 27%, seventh worst. You don't get pressure on Brady, he's gonna slice you up and dice you up, and then, I mean, he's going to have a field day. So I just don't think the Eagles have the defense that could rattle Brady.
Then the other NFC game is the one that probably, if we're being honest about it, we're looking forward to a little bit more than the first NFC game. And, of course, I'm talking about Dallas Cowboys hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
Huh.
In large part because this is – I was talking with Luke Lipinski about this when we were doing the switch over here in the studio. And we were talking about these games, and he's like, look, I might be in the minority here. I am just not buying San Francisco's ability to go pull this off. Because I know a lot of people are picking San Francisco. I'm just not buying it. I don't think they're that good. I think Dallas is significant. Look, the one thing I look at, well, there's a lot of things I look at with this game. But one of the things that make me want to pick San Francisco, that has me picking San Francisco, since week 7, Dallas has played 4 games against playoff teams. They've lost 3 of them, and the only one they beat was Philadelphia last week, and that's because they sat half their dudes.
There you go.
I just don't think they're that good. I don't.
Yeah. I agree with you. I Dallas, in the division that they're in that weak NFC East, I don't know. Like, you know, my group chat that I'm in with my friends,
yeah.
I got my buddy Fetus, he's like, how about Dallas over San Fran? Thoughts? They should cover, right? I'm like, I like San Francisco. And Joe Cafaro was like, so Dallas, right? I'm like, yeah, basically. I don't know. No, I like
that.
Listen,
I like that Joe. He's funny. He makes me laugh.
Oh, Joe's funny.
Joe Cafaro's funny, yeah.
Yeah. He's, so Dallas. Yeah, basically just Dallas. I like San Francisco. I don't believe in Dallas. You know, recent memory, we watched the Cardinals go to Dallas and win. San Francisco's, it all depends on Garoppolo, right? But San Francisco, they've got a really good defense. And they can pressure the quarterback. And they can get after you. And they're playing, I don't want to say they're playing with house money, but they're on fire right now after that win against the Rams last week. And Garoppolo's feeling good about himself. I'll take San Fran on the road. And we talked about this yesterday, right? There's going to be some road teams that win this weekend.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. The stat we had yesterday, it came from Trey Wingo, that over the last 3 years, road teams in this round are 10-4. I'm telling you, pick an upset or two. And for you know, gambler types out there, against the spread, road teams are 11-3 in this round of the playoffs in the last 3 years. And we went through the last 3 years, and I looked at all – I didn't, like, dive deep into all the games, but it's legit. Road teams, more often than not, the last 3 years have sprung the upset. Now, does that mean that ratio of 10-4 is going to hold this weekend? Maybe not. I don't know. But you'd be wise to pick a road team or two or even 3 this weekend. And I think if you're looking for good bets, I think the 49ers are a real good bet to go to Dallas and win that game. I just there's something about Dallas come playoff time I don't trust very well. And the other thing I love about San Francisco, man, this year they have unlocked how to use Deebo Samuel, haven't they? He's running the football. He's catching the football. He's throwing the football. He's become this multi-purpose, all-everything dude. And I think the unpredictability of that and Kyle Shanahan's play calling makes him a real dangerous weapon that Dallas is going to have to deal with.
This is interesting. Garoppolo is 7-0 when he doesn't throw an interception, 2-6 when he does. Trevon Diggs led the NFL with 11 interceptions.
Yeah.
The most by any player since 1981, Everson Walls. So you've got Garoppolo, when he doesn't throw a pick, they haven't lost a game. But on the other side, you've got a Cowboys cornerback who leads the NFL with 11 picks.
Yeah, and if we're going to have the Jimmy G conversation, man, he's a dangerous quarterback to go in a wild card weekend thinking that he can pull out a win for you. But if he can limit the turnovers, and I tell you, I know we probably shouldn't care about what happened in Week 18, Gambo. The fact that he rallied that team down from 17-0 against the Rams, I walked away from that surprised and impressed with Jimmy G and what he was able to do. So this is probably the game outside of Cardinals-Rams that I'm looking forward to the most this weekend. I think this is the one where I'm going to make sure my butt's planted on a couch and I'm watching this one beginning to end.
Who do you want to win that game?
I want San Francisco to win.
Okay.
Yeah, I hesitated because I know San Francisco's a division rival and a lot of people around here don't like the Niners. I hate Dallas.
Right.
I want Dallas out.
Okay, me too. I want San Francisco.
Okay. And then the other one, I assume you're rooting for the Eagles because you're rooting anti-Brady?
Yeah, I don't really like the Eagles, but yes.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I
mean, you're a Giants
fan. I want to get Brady out of there. I want to get the Patriots out of there. I mean,
just checking.
I want Brady to go enjoy his life. I want him to retire and go travel the world. And I want him to eat real ice cream. I want him to get some gelato. I want him to go live.
I don't think that's going to happen if they lose this weekend. But whatever makes you happy, man. Zach Ertz, he understands what it takes to win it all in this league. He's done it. And at the same time, he understands that every game from here on out could be his last in this uniform. You'll hear from the Cardinals tight end next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo, presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I mean, it's just a comfort level. You know, it's crazy. You go back and watch it. I think, he's always open. I don't know how. I don't know why. But he literally is. If I go back and look, like I threw the ball the other way. If I go back and watch Zach, nine times out of ten, he won his route. So, he's a savvy guy who knows how to get open. You know, knows every defensive coverage, known the man, and he's a great teammate.
It's Kyler Murray talking about Zach Ertz. We're gonna have Steve Keim on the show coming up in 12 minutes for his weekly visit with us every Friday, and I'm sure one of the things that we're gonna talk to Steve about, Gambo, is the Cardinals in the red zone and how the Cardinals haven't been very good in the red zone lately, and how with no DeAndre Hopkins on the near horizon, the need to rely on Zach Ertz even more, especially in the red zone, becomes of high importance for this team going into this game on Monday night.
Well, listen, it was, there were a lot of teams that he could have went to, right? I remember when the Cardinals traded for him, there was talk the Bills could trade for him, the Colts could trade for him. It was the Cardinals that went out and got him. And he has been a fantastic addition for the Arizona Cardinals this year. I mean, he has been really, really good. And having him now, I think, is going to be a real big factor in this game. You heard Kyler talk about how he wins every single route. The guy's got great hands. He's actually a pretty decent blocker. I think they're going to try to bring him back next year because they really do like him a lot, and he's still a really good player. He's only 31 years old for a tight end. That's not too old. But I think he could be an X factor. He could be a difference maker in this game, and especially when they get in the red zone. Somehow, some way, they've got to find a reliable target in the red zone. I think Ertz or Christian Kirk to me would be the guy.
Ertz was asked about his future, and I'll play that soundbite for you in a minute.
Okay.
But first, I want to talk about the four games since DeAndre Hopkins suffered that knee injury against the Rams. Zach Ertz, 253 yards. He's caught 28 balls. He's been targeted 43 times. That leads Cardinals pass catchers, and I believe our buddy Mike Jarecki tweeted out that in addition to that, it's the second most targets among all tight ends in the NFL, and it's the fourth most receiving yards per game among all tight ends. So they're using him. It's not like they've ignored him. What we're imploring them to do is use him even more in the red zone because they struggled so badly there.
You got to just go back a few years ago. This guy played three playoff games with the Eagles the year they won the Super Bowl. He had 22 targets and 18 receptions. Now, in the Super Bowl, when they beat New England, he had 7 catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. Against Minnesota in the playoffs, he had 8 catches for 93 yards in a game. He had 18 catches in the three playoff games. So this is a reliable guy. I mean, you know, he's good in these moments. They targeted him 22 times and he had 18 catches. 93 yards against Minnesota, 67 against New England, 3 catches for 32 yards in the first game against Atlanta. That was a different type game. But he's proven. I mean, when you know, one of the things Keyshawn Johnson likes to say is, oh, there's no playoff experience on this team. There's no playoff experience on the team. Hey, Zach Ertz won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Man, he's got playoff experience. He won a Super Bowl. So I think that you kind of look at that and you lean on that experience that he has.
And that is something he talked about today. How long does he think it's going to take some of his teammates to get acclimated to the fact that it's playoff football?
Yeah, I don't think it should take long. You know, everyone wants to make it bigger than a football game. And, you know, when I played on the Super Bowl, we had 7 different TV stands on the field. And by the time the game started, everything was cleared out and you're just playing football again. So for me, in my experience, it doesn't take long for guys to settle in, because once you're not thinking about the game, you're just thinking about your execution, your assignment. That's all you're focused in on. You're not thinking about whether I make this play is going to win us the game or not, or be a playoff hero per se. It's all about just executing. You know, football is all about execution, being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. And for me, that's what I love about the playoffs. You know, everyone wants to make it bigger than it is, but at the end of the day, it's just me versus one other person, the Cardinals versus the Rams. And so for me, everyone wants to make it this big thing. We have 31 guys that haven't been to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, it's football, and we just got to find a way to win.
That is kind of something we said yesterday about Stafford. And I know we're going to talk about Stafford a little bit later. Man, once the game starts, is he really sitting there thinking, man, I haven't won a playoff game? Or is he just playing a football game, right? I mean, I don't know how much. And for the Cardinals, for Kyler Murray, once that game starts, it's a football game. I don't know if you're thinking in your mind, okay, this is a playoff game now. I think once you get into the rhythm and routine of it, it becomes kind of normal for you, like habit more than anything.
Yeah, and that's why momentum is overrated, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're not going to be thinking about last week's game against Seattle if you're the Cardinals. And you're the Rams, you're not going to be thinking about last week's game against San Francisco. I mean, you could think about it all week long because you have time. The second you start playing in the game, you're focused on your route, you're focused on execution, you're keeping your eye on when you're going to be back on the field, if the defense gets a turnover. So, you know, all of that stuff that you may have thought about all week long, that goes away the second you start playing the game.
All right, here's Zach Ertz asked today if he plans on staying in Arizona after the season ends, because as we mentioned in the tease, every single game that he plays from here on out could be his final game with the Cardinals.
Obviously, my wife has enjoyed being back. I've enjoyed being here. It really has been a blessing for me to be out here the past 3 months. I can't believe it's already been 3 months tomorrow. But this is a place that I've thoroughly enjoyed playing. You know, I love the Arizona fans. I love the guys on this team. I feel like the culture here has been built the right way. And for me, if you're able to build a really good culture, you're going to have a chance to have long-term success. And so for me, it's just a blessing to be a part of it here. I don't want it to end anytime soon. I'm not focused on what's going to happen in the offseason. There's a lot of good players that are free agents or impending free agents or whatever it is, and that's way above my pay grade. So I'm just focused on being the best tight end I can be for this team. And like I said, I really enjoy being here with Kyler, Cliff, and all the other guys.
So I'm getting the vibe he kind of likes it here.
Yeah. What's not to like?
I'm kind of getting a he likes it here vibe. Wonder if they'll keep him.
We've talked about this before. They want to keep him, and they want to keep Max Williams. Max would likely come back at close to the minimum because he missed all this year. I think Zach Ertz is probably going to be somewhere around a $7 million. Now, give or take a little bit. Don't hold me to the exact number, but, you know, right around $7 million a year, I think they could get him if they want. And I do think that they want to keep Zach Ertz and they want to keep Max Williams and have both of those guys back next year. But I think Ertz will be a lot more expensive than Max. I think Ertz will come in somewhere in the $7 million range.
When we come back, the Arizona Cardinals have thrived more than any other team in the NFL on the road this season. Everybody can see it. It's obvious. Does that put general manager Steve Keim at ease with the magnitude of this matchup, the fact that it's on the road? Our exclusive conversation with the Cardinals general manager is coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.